Have you ever dreamed of a life designed by you, not for you? A life where you hold the reins of your financial future? At Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals all walking the path towards financial independence. We understand that success is crafted in the face of adversity. It's in these testing times that we discover our resilience, our determination, and our discipline. That's why we're inviting you to learn more about Become an Investor. It's not just about learning the ins and outs of real estate investing. It's about empowering you to take control of your financial future. We'll provide the tools, but the choice to act, to persevere, and to succeed is yours. Join us and start your journey towards living life by design. Together, we'll turn aspiration into reality and empowerment into success. Learn more at becomeaninvestor.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Live Life by Design, brought to you by Become an Investor. So today, it's a small but mighty girl power team. We're going to do our best and miss the guys, but hey, we're here and we're ready to work. So, Daniela, how are you tonight?
You know what? Very happy. It's getting a little chill now in the coming this way. I escaped from the heat on the desert, so gets me a little lazy. So what's up, beautiful people? Let's wake up.
There you go.
Yeah, let's start this beautiful night. You miss the guys, but I don't miss them much. So hang in there with us, guys. There and girls go. And everybody else.
Yes. So as always, we have our quote of the night. So Daniela, can you please share what the quote of the night is?
The quote of the night is, do the hard job first. The easy jobs will take care of themselves. Dale Carnegie. I like that. I mean, what do you think about that quote?
Yeah, you know what? I think growing up, like going through, you know, high school and college, you know, I was a very bad procrastinator with like papers and stuff like that. But when you do tackle the harder jobs first, the easy things, they take care of themselves because they don't seem as hard. They don't seem as big. What is the thing? Eat the big frog first, something like that. The people reference that as well. When you're setting up your tasks, they'll say something along the lines of eat the bigger frog or swallow the bigger frog first.
I don't know that one.
Meaning, well, it's kind of saying, you know, the same as this. You know, you want to do the hard job first, and then everything else will just kind of like fall into place.
Fall into place. I believe on that too. I think once you start your habits, you know what's the hardest thing? Is starting.
Yeah.
Then the first 30 minutes when I need to get things done, I'm kind of hard to concentrate. So I try to get up. I try to look for something else to do. I'm trying to excuse myself and find an excuse to do not even start it. And then I start. And after I get that first 30 minutes done over, then I can concentrate. But it's a job.
Oh, yeah.
It is hard to just sit there. And then you just start putting the little dots where it needs and place whatever is left. So yeah. It makes easier.
Yeah.
It does.
Yes. So tonight we have an interesting topic. We're going to be talking about the tenant turnover rate, how to increase it. So how to increase your income and lower your cost when it comes to tenant turnover rate. For many people many investors that have, the buy and hold properties and they rent them out for long term, not necessarily short term, but long term rentals. These tenants, you know, they're locked in for maybe a year, or are there a month-to-month basis? I don't know, depending on the, you know, on the investor and what the arrangements are. But today we're going to be talking about how to increase your income and reduce your expenses.
Yeah, we're the turnover, right?
On the turnover rate.
Yes, mm-hmm. On the turnover, because the turnover, besides the tax, it's going to be the biggest one, single operation expensive that it's going to give you a loss, pretty much. Taxes, I feel like taxes are lost. So, Uncle Sam, get it easy. Take it easy on us. But, yeah, it's something you cannot control the tax, but you can control at least a little bit the turnover on your properties.
Right.
So you are going to talk about and touch on little points that you can do and use on your properties if you have properties out there.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's more for buy and hold. And you're going to touch on little things that you can be looking at, and it's going to minimize that turnover time, so you don't get that vacancies for so long.
Right.
So yeah, that is one. And of course, with that, you're going to increase your cash flow.
Right.
You're going to be more positive on that one. So
yes, because I mean, if you start to add up the vacancies, like you said, you know, the time it takes for any little tiny repairs to be done, cosmetic repairs from one tenant to the next, you're missing out on maybe that 1 to 2 month, you know, income that could be generated if you do things differently. So one of the ways that is touched on to influence your tenants to maybe renew the lease with you and not let them go so easily is maybe by giving them credits over the holidays so they can feel like you're appreciating them. I know some people have done that in the past.
Yeah.
I know, you know, right now we're in the Florida, the hurricane season is like very high. I read somewhere that an investor is giving his tenants a $250 credit so that they can, you know, buy supplies that they need to protect the house, which is, you know, good for him and good for them,
yeah.
Or to evacuate and just be safe, right? So little things like that.
Definitely being a great landlord, it's going to keep your tenants a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
I think the keys is, I mean, there is no way to control. Like right now, there's hurricane season, and many people, I think a lot of people are going to decide if they want to stay on that place or state. And you're talking about Tampa and Orlando that's coming next, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they were going to decide to stay there or not. But definitely having that landlord was a little hard, you know.
Right.
It's benefit for, like you say, for both of them.
For both parties, yeah.
For both parties. And after that, having the control, it's going to make it easier to control what's coming next, because everybody, when you move it in a place where you're renting, you have a contract, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And whatever it is that you do as a landlord during that period of time, it's going to make the tenants stay or go or leave.
Right.
You can't control if they decide to move it out or get a new job out town. But however, if you are, you know, the landlord that's going to do that extra mile like this one that you're talking about, they might decide, you know what, it's a hurricane, it's going to be here and everywhere, not everywhere, I hope not here, but if they do the extra mile, it's going to give them points and it's going to ease the communication in between both.
Right, yeah.
So on the time that the lease is going to expire, they at least can have that conversation and ask them 2 months before, going to, you know, it's your intentions to stay. And if not, why not? Maybe this is just something that some kind of issue that was not present by the tenants
right.
on that moment and might be an easy fix. And, you know, people sometimes they don't talk, but they get mad.
Yeah.
And there's another point when they get mad, what they do, they talk badly about you or your place, or if it's a apartment complex, they are going to give you a bad review and you don't even know why.
Right. Yeah.
So preparing to have that vacancy or even know what's going on that unity before the vacancy, it's going to give you the heads up to have somebody else coming either to fix and, you know, give them a chance to stay a little longer or to have someone prepare right on the moment they leave so you can fix the problem.
Right.
Because there's either one, there is a problem there.
Yeah.
It might be a problem there, not every time, but that it's going to help with the turnover time and, you know, it's going to give you a better quality communication.
Yes.
Communication, people. I am very good not communicating, so.
No, yeah. And, you know, along those lines, you know, sometimes if you have good communication with your tenant and you know that, you know, they like the area they're living in, perhaps the schools that are nearby are good schools and they like the education there for their kids, they may be, you know, potential renewals. So maybe you can lock in some kind of rate in a, you know, 6 months, 4 months in advance, not necessarily 2 months like you mentioned, you know. So a little in advance so that you can yeah. get that, you can have that property, you know, occupied for the next 12 months or 24, however long your leases are, you know, whatever. So sometimes, you know, having that communication, like you said, is an easy fix, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can spring out the gates, right? You can help them if they are on the case to move it out and they need an extra money. You can also give them a credit. Like you can offer them $10-$15 a day per day that they are going to vacant that property early. If they want to vacant that a little earlier, it's going to give you 15 days because you don't want you want to have the property prepared on the end of the month or whenever it is the dates that you have your how do you say the pay? The
like your next month?
Whatever it is. Yeah, you want to have your payroll, you mm-hmm. know, in day as much as your tenant. So you don't want to have vacancy and not to have that property. Usually you pay monthly, so and it mm-hmm. goes from the third to the fifth, things like that. So if you can get that property a little earlier, if they're going to move you out and they accept to move a little earlier, you can mm-hmm. start and have that property ready to be rent again on the right date, so you don't get that many breaks in between a rent and the other. Just
right.
that vacancy, it's more on the clock.
Yeah.
So you can keep it up with that one. I think that help. And sometimes people don't pay it at all, so you need to evict them. There is, you know, there is some help that landlords help, I mean, offer cash for key. It's right. one of them. They might offer you $250, $300, $1,000. I think on those cases, everything is negotiable. And
right.
if it you need to evict someone, chances are they don't have the money anyways. But why not at least try to negotiate something and take that eviction out of their back? Because if you're evicted from a place today, and you try to rent tomorrow, that's going to be very negative on your credit. And it's going
right.
to be difficult for that client, right?
Right, yeah.
To get a new place. So everything on those points is negotiable.
Yeah.
I mean, just be flexible, right?
Yes.
Be nice. You never know if they are coming back tomorrow or not. I don't want nobody back if they are not paying the rent. But
yeah, no, we don't need that. Because here in California, an eviction process may be a little lengthy. So any kind of good communication and cooperation from both parties, I think, would be ideal to, you know, to get the tenant out. And And as an investor, you know, just keep moving forward, getting your property ready for the next family to come in and all that good stuff. So, yeah, eviction could be a headache for
months.
Yeah.
And believe me, we're talking about getting a turnover right and on the way that's going to increase your cash flow in a good way, not... decrease the cash flow is a long eviction process.
Yes.
I think you're not going to, in California, you're not going to get that done in less than 6 months. So, yeah, look for your options.
Right.
So, yeah. And also, don't forget, as soon as that property change back to you, you have the control on the property. Always look for the utilities.
Yeah.
Turn it off, put that back on the name of the company or your name, if that's it's a one property, single property. And because those bills can be expensive.
Oh, yeah. Just getting the connection back. And then sometimes it can take up to 2-3 weeks to get somebody out.
Get an appointment.
Yeah.
And then you need to pay for the fees. And
right.
No, too much headache. So
yeah.
Utilities. Yeah, and some place has the auto revert process. So as soon as they finish the lease, it goes back. It's auto, not auto pay, auto revert, I guess.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's a process from some utility companies, and that helps a lot. Any headache that you can avoid.
Yeah, that's
on the end
true.
Of the day. Little stuffs take time. You need to call, or you know, maybe you don't have the password for these or anything.
This podcast is sponsored by Become an Investor. Here at Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals all working a path towards financial independence. We're about empowering you to take control of your financial future. Well, how? Well, most of us got started with foreclosure leads, and you now can too. Follow the link in the show notes below, and for a limited time, you can get our foreclosure ebook. With that, we'll also send you up to 10 free leads in your local area. So get those leads. Get this book so you too can get started on your path to living life by design. Now back to the podcast.
And that's automation.
Yeah.
I'm getting like, I like it.
No, yeah. And that's true. You know, keep everything coming back to you, the original owner, right? Because
yeah.
You're right. You know, sometimes the people, they create their accounts, and if, you know, you go to the point to an eviction and you're now on bad terms with these people, they could easily have their utility shut down. So yeah, you want to make sure that you are set up with tools like this to help you get back your utilities and everything switched back to your name before they exit or before they get shut out.
Yeah. Another point, what would you use, contractors or employees?
I don't know. That's a very good question. I guess it just depends on how busy you're going to keep the contractor. If this contractor would be like a on-call kind of, you know, deal.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have enough work with maintenance or, you know, handyman, that you would hire one contractor for all of your properties and just kind of do rounds and keep an eye and, you know, just manage the contracting handyman / maintenance /, you know, I don't
I
know
do
what
everything.
Other... Yeah, and you know, maybe sometimes it's if you have enough properties that you can have one employee, it may just be better so that you have one person you know, touching hand, you know, like dealing with everything, and you don't have like different contractors looking at the same thing or at, you know what I mean? So you just have the record of the one, and that one knows exactly where they left off or what was needed or how you like things to be done. So I don't know. It just depends. I guess it's a preference.
I get, I would say it depends on the size of your portfolio.
Right. Yeah.
That, you know, that's just what you're saying, but definitely if you have one property, unless you live in another state, you can pretty much handle little stuffs. But again, you need to have, you don't need an employee for that one, if that's the case. But always have the contact, keep that networking with good contractor, someone that can call for plumbing or electrical. Electrical can be a pain in the nose. But, AC, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Think about trying to get someone to do a work on your AC when you live in the desert in the middle of the summer. Forget it.
Oh my gosh, yeah, no.
Forget it.
And you know what? A lot of investors, you don't go after the new tract homes, right? You go after properties that are a little older.
Yeah.
So your electrical panels and your, you know, ACs may not be up to code, per se, or they may not have the latest technology. So sometimes getting a good electrician out there to look at that panel or at your AC that won't start because it's a dinosaur age, you know. Because, you know, I mean, the homes that, you know, as an investor you want to go after are not, like I said, they're not track homes. You know, they're not the new homes.
Yeah, so we usually get properties for a deeper discount. So guess what? They might need, or you might need to work with that AC that's 15 years old.
Yeah.
And that needs to be, have maintenance. Mm-hmm. I don't think my AC is that new. So, but I do call every year for maintenance.
Oh, that's good.
So before summer. So the guy go, he take a look, he fill it up with whatever fluids or what's the name for that? The cooling?
Oh, yeah. That stuff.
Whatever. Where is the contractor today to save us from this freaking nonsense? I don't know the name of that. But anyways, yeah, they do the job. And it's cheaper than just get a unit like that broke.
Oh, yeah.
Way cheaper. You don't want to. I run out. My AC broke like a couple of years ago in the middle of the summer, and I had to wait for 3 days, and you had the weather at like, I don't know, 118, 20. Oh, the house was like cooking inside. So the way I did, I got a room in an hotel and I just stayed there for 2 days because I could not handle it.
Hey, there you go.
It was way too much heat for my head. No. It's cooking my brain. It doesn't work. But yes, so that is what to do. You need to keep looking for small stuff that you can fix in the minor time and do these minor concerts, not concerts, but repairs.
Yeah.
In a low time, you know, and have quality of service done. So yeah, I think it depends on the size of your portfolio. Blah blah blah.
Yep, the portfolio.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you decide on that one, employers, contractors, and yeah, just keep up looking. So the material, you wanna
so
take on those material, because I think it depends on the scope of work or turnover, the checklist that you're going to do when you have all those little things, all those contractors. There is another thing that you should, if you have employees, I think you should have always a scoop of work for what they need to get done. You know, if it's a property that you need to check before, of course, and after, all the little the little things that's in the house, the AC, the washer, the dryer, the, you know, all the electrical. So do a little checklist and I, you know, to what needs to be checked every time that you rent or have a vacancy. And if you have repairs, scope of works or a checklist, it's going to help a lot.
Yeah, I agree. That way you don't miss anything important, you know. Sometimes you're in between projects or you have too many things going on at once. So yeah, that's a very good idea to have a scope of work, like a template. So you kind of know what to follow and you know what you're looking for. And then, you know, every house that becomes vacant may have different things that need to be repaired versus the next one or the next one, right? Because you don't know how well your tenants, you know, took care of your property. So definitely a scope of work template would be a good idea to have so that you can oversee from a distance, per se.
Yeah, and the checklist is easier. Mm-hmm. But if you're working with somebody new, you'll never know if they are really buying what you need or if they are just spending your money. Yeah. So when you have a scope of work, I think it makes easier. You have this much things to get done and you make a contract with them and go from there. Checklist? I don't know. Having projects, although we have a checklist and then I ended up with more material than... and I'm just like, oh, what was that for? Or what was that for?
Yeah.
One of the projects I went to return out that, you know, you have the checklist. Uh-huh. Buy this. It's that. It's like a music. I run away from buy. And then on the end of the day, when you go to do all the... I look at, there was literally two big box of new material that was not used.
Yeah.
I mean, the checklist was all done, but then I had all these leftovers. I was just like, I'm not going to just look at these and leave this sitting here or throw away. Mm-hmm. And when I went to return, I think I got like more than 2,000 back in returns.
Wow. Yeah, you see, sometimes, like, if you just rely on your contractor, they may not even return things, or they may not even return you the expense that they made, the extra expense that was made, right? Because they think, oh, you're an investor, you have money, you can cover this, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but that doesn't work like that, because on the end of every week or 15 days, usually it's when you pay them for the work they did. That is also when, you know, all the bills from Home Depot and this one and
all
that
the
one.
Receipts are being collected.
You get that beautiful bill on your email and they're just like, wait a minute, what was that for?
Yeah. So it's important to oversee the work, right? Oversee the work, oversee the contractors, making sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing and not, you know, taking extra time off or not lagging or, you know, just taking their time when they know that you're on a time crunch, right? So part of that would be, creating some kind of deal with the contractor, you know, offering incentives to finish early. And if they don't finish on time, then maybe, you know, they don't get your next job. And, you know, you hire your backup crew, you know, so that they know that you're serious and you need the job done, right?
Yeah. A lot of time they are going to get 2-3 jobs in the row. They have nothing and then something else come up and something else and they don't really, you know, if you are not on the point with them, they might delay the job.
Yeah.
It happened to me before, so I don't like it. And I mean, it is what it is. But a good conversation and clear about the fees with contractors is very important.
Yeah.
And it's going to save you the time, because what we are trying to do here is minimize the time that you have a vacancy, not a loss with your contractor or employee.
Right, yeah.
So,
Yeah. Yeah, that's important to have that good talk with them. So they you're both on the same boat, right?
Same page.
Yeah.
Same page, same bill. Same here, same there, same everywhere. Yeah. After you do everything, what else should you do? Is that property, apartment? What do you think you should do to eliminate the time of that vacancy, that turnover? I think after you have all the repairs done, all the cleaning done, I think you have to have someone ready to take some good pictures.
There you go. Start your marketing, right?
Start your marketing. Mm-hmm. Know, you know, maybe you have, if it's apartments, have a unit similar. And you know that the property, it's coming vacant. And or either if you have a pictures for, if it's a single home, if you have the pictures from before and nothing changed, start preparing the marketing.
Yeah. Right?
So as soon as you can, you start getting that phone call.
Yeah.
So you can put the property on the market, starting making your money.
Yeah, and start preparing that property to look good, to attract some eyes, and start showing so you can get your next family in there. So yeah, start marketing, putting it back on the market to get it occupied again.
Yeah, so I guess we have all those little lists to do. You start talking with your tenants, you know, try to do a little 2 months, 6 months, know where they are going, where they have their head, if they're trying to or thinking about to move or not.
Yeah.
Right? Start from there. Once you start looking for the repairs, make sure you know how long it's going to be to get that part done,
right?
And go for the marketing.
Yeah.
It's not. I think it's like do the big job first. It's preparing, having that habit, that checklist for what is next.
Right. Yeah.
For how long you're going to have that vacancy. You cannot avoid people moving out, but you definitely can make it deep. Better to keep them there or either get the job done after they move out a little faster so you can keep your income. You can keep it up with your life.
Right, right. So, you know, just always try to have a little bit extra save up for situations like this, right, for your vacancies and any little cosmetic repairs that you need to do before you get the property for ready for your next family, right, to come in and rent it out. So it's always good just to have a little budget set aside so that you're prepared when there is a vacancy that you know it's coming up, because like you had, you know, we talked earlier, they either move out of town or they have a new job that's, you know, that's making them move out of the home or whatever. So yeah, so just be prepared and just have money aside, you know, sometimes for situations like this.
Yeah. This way you ensure that the most controllable operating expense real estate investors have doesn't drag down your investments.
Yes, there you go.
There you go. All right, beautiful people. Tonight we're just giving you a little information about how to make it easier on your turnover and keep your passive income.
Yes, there you go. And Daniela, share with your beautiful voice where they can find us.
Can find us in Riverside. Come over. We are also the podcast, Apple Podcast, Pandora, Spotify, Facebook. We are Become an Investor, Instagram, TikTok. And if you want more information, more details, go to the info@becomeaninvestor.com.
Wonderful. Thank you, Daniela.
Good night, beautiful people.
Good night.